Who's excited you came to church today? Anybody excited? Man, if you can't tell, I'm a little fired up. And I'm just so thankful for the series that we've been in. I'm so thankful for the first week, Pastor Davey preaching on heaven. Wasn't that amazing? That was fantastic. Last week, Pastor Mark preaching on hell. And man, I'm just so thankful. And here's what I've realized about this series. If you haven't gotten anything else out of this series, this is what I want you to get. Is that everything that how we answer that question, that what happens when I die, how we answer that question, it all revolves around what we do with the person of Jesus. Come on, it says, if we confess with our mouth, we believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come on, you will be saved. And I'm so thankful that all of us, that we have had the opportunity of the last couple weeks, and maybe you haven't stepped into that opportunity yet, maybe today is that day, but we've had the opportunity to step into relationship with Jesus, come on, the one who wants to spend eternity with us, the one who has sent, that God sent his only Son so that you and I don't have to spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell that Pastor Mark preached on last week. I thought it was interesting. We had to draw straws. We're like, who's preaching on heaven? Who's preaching on hell? And Pastor Mark got the short straw. And so that was what happened. No, I'm kidding. But today I want to kind of jump into this. And last year, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. Actually, let me tell you this before I jump into the message is next week, we're having what we're calling Vision Sunday. And if you want to see Pastor Kenneth on Mountain Dew, come on next week and just hear about everything that God has done in our church, everything that we believe he's going to do. It's going to be fantastic. So mark your calendar, get here, make sure you do whatever you can. If you had plans, cancel them, because this is going to be better than whatever those plans were, and get here for Vision Sunday. It's going to be amazing. But now I'm going to tell the story. Last year, I feel like it was around Christmas time, Jace, my son, he got into Monopoly. Now, when I say the word Monopoly, instantly there's like a oh yeah or an oh no. And I just got to know who I'm working with. How many of you are Monopoly fans? Just by raise of hands, you love Monopoly. Yeah, yeah. All right, you can put those down. How many of you don't like Monopoly? Like, okay, it's about even, right? And I think some of you raise your hand twice because I could kind of relate to that. It's like I love it and I hate it all at the same time. And I wasn't mad about it because I love the strategy of Monopoly. I love how hands-on it is. I love how like the entrepreneurial nature. I feel like a venture capitalist. Like I'm getting Boardwalk and in Park Place, and I'm bargaining with Jason. All of these things. I love the dominance that I enjoy over my 7-year-old. Right? There's so many reasons to love Monopoly, but all the strategies. I was thinking about this idea of this board game and buying all the properties and the dominance that comes, that it usually comes to an end. And the reason that it comes to an end is because one or the other of us decide that we are tired of playing this game. If you've seen the new Monopolies, they actually have rules that encourage how to speed up the game. We played by those rules. And instead of being 12 days, it took 5, right? It was like, I'm not sure that's speeding up. I'm not sure. But we will play. Come on, y'all know you'll play for like 5 hours. You'll get sick and tired of playing. You'll go to sleep, wake up the next day, play a little bit more. But at the end of everything, we finally get to a point where we draw a truce and we just say, hey, listen, daddy won. And we have to acknowledge, right? But at the end of it all, here's what happens is that it all folds up. It all wraps up, and it all goes back in the box. I was thinking about this, and at 37, here's what I want to tell you. I definitely don't claim to know it all, because I just scared some of you right there. You're like, I go to a church where the lead pastor is 37. Well, I'm glad you came in the 8th year, because 8 years ago, I was 29 and the lead pastor of this church. That's scary. No one should ever let a 29-year-old start a church. I'm kidding, only slightly. And here's the deal. At 37, I don't claim to have lived long enough to gain some perspective on everything. But my perspective is this, is that Monopoly is probably more of a picture of life than we would care to admit. That all of the strategy, that all of the buying of properties, all of the success and all of the things, they eventually come to an end. A wise person once said it like this. They said this, that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. I thought that would land funnier than it did just then. But of course, here's what we know. Here's what we know, that life is not a game. That life is not like a roll of toilet paper. That life is not like any of those things. That life is not a dress rehearsal. That we've got one chance, that we've got one shot to live it and live it to the full. After all, this is what Jesus said that he wants for all of us. And so here's what I want to talk about today, that before it all goes back into the box. What's the box? It's the casket. Let me just get grim for a second. Before it all goes back, one person thought that was funny too. They were like, I don't know about that. But before it all, how do we maximize our life? How do we maximize our moments? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of James, and we're going to be there in just a second. And James is the half brother of Jesus, and James spoke about the brevity of life. And I think that with this picture in mind that James paints, I think that when we wrap our minds around this picture, that it will give us and allow us to live our lives with a ton of momentum. And here's what I want for all of us. And this is the reason that we do series like this, What Happens When I Die, is because I don't want to just pontificate about what happens when we die. I think that we know enough through scripture to know that either heaven or hell awaits us, and what we do with Jesus makes the impact on where we go. We can say yes and amen with that, right? Yeah, and I know that that's not like the pop culture type thing, like everybody gets to go to heaven. And it's like, well, then what's the sacrifice of Jesus for? And we want to pontificate on what happens in the next life. But here's this is why why don't you preach on heaven more? Why don't you preach on heaven more? Why don't you preach on hell more? And like sometimes people want me to preach on hell so much. And I'm like we're excited that people are going to go there. That's why we started this church, is so that people wouldn't go to hell, so that they would go to heaven, that we would plunder hell and that we would populate heaven. That's the whole point. Like, I'm supposed to be angry about it. Like, you're going to hell. Like, that's the church I grew up in. I don't want anything to do with that, right? It's a reality. It's real. We talked about it. We know. But Jesus Christ, in his love, in his grace, it says it was his kindness that leads us to repentance. So angry preachers, I don't understand. Because Jesus, he only got angry over religious folks. This has nothing to do with my message right now. I'm just kind of riffing because I haven't had the chance to preach in 2 weeks. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, he talks about this idea, the brevity of life. And in James chapter 4 in verses 13 and 14, I want you to see it in the NIV. It says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." This is verse 14. It says, "Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow." And then it says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You are a mist. Welcome back, Pastor Kenneth. Thank you for the encouraging message. I want you to see what the message paraphrase says. It says, "And now I have a word for you who brashly announced today, at the latest tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. That we're going to start a business and make a lot of money." He says, "You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing." Scripture tells us that we're a mist, that we're a wisp of fog. Another translation says that our life is like a vapor. And when I used to read this, I'll be honest, when I read this when I was younger, this scared the living daylights out of me. Like when I read this as a child, I was like, oh my gosh, like this was sobering to me as I read this. And maybe as I read this, it scares you because you're reflecting on how fast life has seemed up until this point. But can I encourage you to see what James is saying? James was not saying this in a negative light. He was not that person that was just like, don't blink, it'll all be over, like life sucks and then you die, right? Like you've met those people, right? Right, y'all have met these people before, right? You know, maybe if you're not raising your hand, maybe you are that person. Stop it, right? That's my least favorite quote in all the world. Life sucks and then you die. Like, really? You got Jesus. Anyways, that's what he offers us, full life, not the other. James wasn't saying this in a negative light. James was essentially saying this, is that you have to live with the end in mind. And if I could get all of us today to live with something, is to live with the end in mind. You could say it like this, that you can't live a meaningful life with a temporal perspective, that you have to fight for an eternal perspective. That you can't live a meaningful life with a temporal perspective in just what's happening in this moment. You could say it like this, is I don't want my life to just be about the here and now. I want it to be about the then and there. Is this resonating with anybody today? Like, I don't want to just live my life so wrapped up in the here and now that I miss out, that it's really about the then and there. And what I hope you've gotten out of this series is that in the 80 to 90 years, or, you know, praise God, all of us going to live to be 100 because you eat organic carrots. I know that to be true, right? Like, I know that if you've gotten anything out of this series is that the time that you have on this earth pales in comparison to the eternity that you will have with Jesus. If you are in him, reveling in the life that you have led. And come on, I want all of us that call United Church home to revel in all of eternity because of what we've done on this side of eternity. You can think about it this way, that if the here and now, if the here and now is a mist or a vapor, then the then and there is like a vast ocean. Just get that word picture in your mind for a second. If the here and now is here today and gone tomorrow, then the then and there is like, man, we have days on days on days on days. We just got back from Tennessee and Rocky Top. Come on, somebody. Just got back from Tennessee and my son was hanging out with his cousins and he's like, Daddy, I don't want it to be over. Like, it's been 4 days, but it feels like it's been one. Like, it's just, and I feel like that's what heaven will be like, except it will never end. Like, I love what Pastor Davey said. It's like, we talk about singing holy, holy, holy around the throne, and like, you might get exhausted with the three songs that we sing on Sunday. Like, there's gonna be other things happening. But when you see Jesus, I can promise you this, that your knee will bow. And that your hands will raise and you will say he is the King of Kings enthroned for all of eternity. If our life now is like a mist or vapor, then the then and there is it's like a vast ocean. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a couple things today to live in light of this being true. I want to share with you some things that we can do to make the most of the here and now, to see it show up in the then and there, that before everything goes back in the box, I want to share some things with you. Now, here's what I know. The first one is this. I was going to say something, but I'm going to say it in just a moment. But the first one is this, is store up treasure. Store up treasure. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down, store up treasure. And some of you are thinking, I know what some of you are thinking, PK, this is what I've been trying to do. That's why I'm working doubles. That's why I picked up an extra job. And let me just say this to those people that there are some churches that are like, will preach down, like if you're successful and you are making money and things are happening. Can I tell you, this church is not one of those churches. I will celebrate you as you rise to the top in your organization. I will celebrate you as you launch your business and it's successful. Come on, any business owners can just say amen right there, right? Like, just believe in God for favor right there. I will celebrate you in all of those moments, but let's not lose perspective. I want to show you what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." He says in verse 20, he says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus was trying to put some things into perspective that when you and I work and grind just for the here and now, that we're laboring for resources that will one day fade away. That when we work the double time, when we work the overtime just for the things that are on this, it'll be for treasures that moths and rust will destroy. And I don't know about you, but I hate moths. They gross me out. And I've said this so many times, it's not wrong. Listen to me. You're like, oh, you're contradicting what you just said. No, I've said this so many times from this platform before that it's not wrong to have nice things. It's wrong for nice things to have you. Man, I was wrestling through this just 2 weeks ago that I felt like God in my spirit. This is a little bit of look into how God speaks to me that I was celebrating my 15-year wedding celebration that happened in July, but I was celebrating it just a couple weeks ago, and I felt that God spoke into my spirit as I was laying in bed online shopping. Come on, am I preaching to anybody right now? Come on. Like, be honest today right now. Just, yeah. There's three of you online shopping in your bed. Right, okay, the rest of you, what do you do? I do it at the dinner table. All right, cool. But I felt like God spoke into my spirit. He said, stop buying things. And I was like you know when you've heard from God. Because that ain't from Kenneth saying that, because I like buying things.
You're like, he's vain.
Like, but we all have a thing, right? Right? Well, like you're like, well, he wears a lot of shoes. Well, you hunt, okay? And your guns cost more than my shoes. I'm playing. But seriously, anyways.
Like, how much does that, how much does those pants cost? How much does that boat cost?
I'm kidding. It's not hunting, it's golfing. Anyways, all right, cool. But we all have a thing. Some of y'all are mad right now. That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. But he said, stop buying things. And here's what I felt like the revelation was for me, is I was just storing up things where moth and rust are going to destroy. Like, one day I'm going to wear that and it's going to wear out. One day I'm going to wear the nice pair of shoes that I like and Jace is going to step on them and I'm going to be locked up in jail, right? Like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work well. Like, you wear nice shoes, you got a 7-year-old, you're like, stay away from me. Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. You've had the same shoes as 92, you're good. You're like, I'm good, brother, right? But God spoke to stop buying things. And so what I wanted to do is I was thinking through the lens of all of these things, because there's got to be something that breaks the insatiable desire for more. There's got to be something that severs that breaks that all of these things. And I'm going to share the first one with you. And I know that for a percentage of you that you're going to roll your eyes. And this is how I have found. The first one is biblical tithing. You're like, oh, what happens when I die? And we're talking about tithing. Because I love you. Genuinely. I love you. And I want what you have stored up on this earth to show up in all of eternity. What if you and I started in investing in things that will actually show up in the next life and not in just this life? I love what Malachi 3:10 said. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, which is the only time it says to test God in the scriptures. It says, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. What is tithing, Pastor? Tithing is this. Tithing is 10% of your income. Is it gross or is it net? And I would ask you, which one do you want to be blessed on? Somebody asked me that in return one time. I was like, well, I want to be blessed on all of it. They were like, okay, but then you got your answer. We were talking about this, and so much so do I believe this, is maybe you haven't been here since, maybe you're new to the church since COVID. Before COVID, we actually used to pass these things. They're called buckets. We used to pass them down. And here's what I was thinking about the other day. For several reasons, we're actually going to re-implement these starting next week. And here's why. It's because I believe that biblical tithing, I believe it is an act of worship. And so I feel like we were trying to not pass germs. You understand why we were not passing buckets, right? We were trying to not pass germs, but we were actually taking away an opportunity for someone to worship through their giving. And there's something that severs. There's something that when you tithe, when biblical tithing takes place, there's something that happens. And let me just look at your pastor for a second. I promise you this, that God can do more with your 90 than you can do with your 100. You're like, I don't know, there's not 10% of margin. I promise you, step into it. So the ones that rolled your eyes, you've never tested God in it. And those of you who have tested God in it, you've seen the miraculous provision. I promise you this, things will still break, amen? Cars will still go awry. Your wife will still hit a deer. May or may not have happened. Things will still happen. But I'm telling you, it's like the tie to your heart of all these things is severed because you're saying, no, God is first. God is first. So next week, don't be surprised when we get done with song one, song two starts, and you're like, somebody bumps you with the bucket. Oh yeah, worship, 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 worship. And we have these little cards that says, I give online. Nifty, really nifty things. You can put them in your pocket when the bucket passes. I give online. Now, if you don't give online, don't put an I give online card. Come on, somebody. God sees you. Anyways. Biblical tithe. The second thing is this, is legacy giving. Legacy giving. And this really, for me, is so very powerful. At United, here's what legacy is. Legacy is the opportunity that we have to give over and above our tithe. And our legacy season is coming up. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But in Luke 6:38, it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure, don't miss this, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Come on, this is good stuff. This is our opportunity to live a legacy style mindset to say, you know what? What is legacy? For us, it's the over and above giving, but it goes towards three different things. It goes towards missions, expansion, and United University. Come on, I can't tell you how excited I get about this when I start talking about missions and I start talking about how I'm gonna talk all about it next week, so I'm not even gonna talk about it today, but we just all over the map, all over the world, United Church is making a difference in missions and then in expansion. Come on, there will come a day, and it's coming very soon, where we're going to find the right piece of property in the city of Dover, and we're going to buy it. We're going to put a building on it. Praise be to God. Expansion. And then United University. I mean, I get so excited about interns and apprentices and residents who are being raised up, discovering the more that God has placed inside of them. And so let me tell you about this. The legacy offering is coming up December 10th. And I am so pumped about this. This is the one time we haven't done fundraisers in the past. Come on, we don't sell cookies at United Church. We don't sell apples at United Church. We don't do any of those things. We don't send our kids out to do fundraisers. Come on, we do a legacy offering one time a year. We're on the second Sunday of every December. We give over and above. We just literally, well, how much should we give? We ask God and we do what he says. We say, God, what would you do? And I'm going to tell you next week that there's a really large vision gap for what we have and what we could do if. I'm going to tell you all about that next week. But the legacy offering is going to be so fantastic. I had a gentleman, he texted me the other day, and he and his wife had given their biannual legacy gift. And I was super grateful. I love the fact that he had texted me. And this is what he said back to me. He said, praise God, it's true. You can't outgive him. If that's anybody's testimony, would you put your hands together? Amen, something. Like, you can't outgive him. He and his wife understand that they're storing up treasure for eternity, for the then and for the there. The last piece of this first part that I'm going to tell you is the idea of long-term planning. Now, I was thinking, how do you talk about... You have to be in a series called What Happens When I Die to talk about death, right? But imagine this. Imagine for some of us, imagine the impact that your finances could have long after you're gone. Like, we all do estate planning. We all figure out where things go. And I just got to tell you, maybe this rings true with you. I'm going to move on from this in just a second. But if this rings true with you, I mean, Pastor Mark would love to talk with you about whether I'm dead serious. You're like, are you serious about this? Like, I am 100% serious. Come on, we give money to colleges. We give money to all these different things. When we pass away, like, why not to the local church where it's going to show up in eternity? No. Don't. Like, three people, like, oh, yeah, golf clap. And then other people, like, yeah, I think that's good. I don't think I should clap, right? But if that intrigues you, I want to encourage you, mark@unitedchurchde.com. Just shoot him an email. He would love to do it. The second one is this, because you're like, get off the finances. I will get off the finances. The second thing that I really believe will show up in all of eternity, not just the here and now and the then and there. The second thing that you and I can do is this, is share your faith. Share your faith. I felt a heartier amen moving on from finances. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to attend Clemson's FCA. I didn't go to Clemson. I went to a small private school, Southern Western University, down the road from Clemson. But I had the opportunity to attend Clemson's FCA. And at that time, it was the largest FCA in the nation. It was at 7:17 and at 9:19 p.m. We were going to church at 9:19 p.m. Now your boy's in bed at 9:19 p.m. Come on, you know what I'm talking? They were just getting cranked up at 9:19. And I was sitting in this worship experience one time, and this guy came, and it was actually me and Pastor Davey. At that point, he wasn't Pastor Davey, it was just Davey. And we were at Clemson FCA, and this guy comes up, and he starts talking. And I'm going to tell you, something shifted in me on this night. Something shifted in me when I heard this man named Mark Cahill preach. I was listening to this guy. He comes out and he does something that was very unconventional. He starts snapping his fingers. And maybe some of you have heard me tell this story before, but he starts snapping his fingers, and it was for like an uncomfortable length of time. I was thinking maybe he forgot. He's like, you know, like sometimes you're like trying to think of something, you're like, ah. But he's snapping his fingers. And he says this. He said, every single second, two people die. And I'm like, this is morbid. And he keeps snapping his fingers. To make it even more morbid, it was not two, it was five. Every second, five people die. And he asks this question, he says, do you care? I'm like, yeah, I care. But the next question he asked haunted me, changed my life, set me on a new trajectory. He said, do you care enough to do something about it? And he stopped snapping. My eyes filled up with tears. And names started flooding to my mind. Names of people in my mind, in my life, that I knew that they didn't know Jesus. Names of friends and family members and teammates at that time. Of people that I knew that if they faced eternity, that they would spend eternity separated from God. And then he posed this question. He said, what's the one thing you can't do in heaven? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, all kinds of answers are going through my mind. What's one thing you can't do in heaven? See cats. I was thinking about that one. I was like, all right, sure, they're not going to make it, right? They're not gonna be there. What's one thing I can't do in heaven? Be scared, endure sickness. I'm thinking of all these things. I didn't know the correct answer. There's all kinds of answers over the map, but I didn't know what he was getting to, the heart of what he was getting to. And he would say the one thing you can't do in heaven is share your experience with Jesus. Like your opportunity to tell that person about Jesus is over, that you are now in heaven, no longer to be able to share with them. And it echoed the words of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. He says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And he said, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That Jesus said to us in this moment, go. And can I tell you as a church, come on, we gotta go. That God has given us a message. God has given us something that we are here on Sundays and we enjoy the presence of God. We enjoy lifting up his name. We enjoy all of those things, but there are people around us that they just want to know the hope that we have. John chapter 20, I love this. It says, Jesus said to them again, it says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus sent us, and the question is not, do you feel like it? The question is this, is are you willing to live that way? I'm gonna give you three things real quick before we finish. The first one is this. If you're like, I don't even know how to share my faith, Pastor Ken, I don't know how to talk about Jesus. Here's the first one. Is you gotta talk about what's important to you. You gotta talk, like just let it come up in conversation. Like that, we typically don't think that people want to talk with us about eternity and Jesus, but can I tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell? That people are wondering what to do with eternity. They're wondering what you believe about Jesus, and they, as their friend, they don't wanna just hear it from the pastor, come on, who wore the sports coat because he's a little bloated from Thanksgiving. They wanna hear it from you. Hey, what is the hope that you have? Like, talk about it in a way that's appetizing for them. Come on, we got crumble cookie coming to Dover. I don't know if you've ever had crumble cookie, but yo, these cookies are fresh. They are big. You get a black cup of coffee with that thing, it'll change your life. What did I just made you want a cookie. But how much more? Come on, can we talk about Jesus? He's changed me. You should see how free I am since I found him. You should see the hope that I have since I met him. Things are different. And you talk about it in a way that's appetizing. People are like, I want that. I want that. The second thing is this, is be genuine when you talk about it. If the tone of your voice changes when you start talking about God, If Lord has seven syllables, your friends are out. Lord. Like sometimes we go from like talking like this and then we get into prayer and we're like, dear God. Like you changed octaves. Like I'm not even sure what happened. Be genuine. What a humbling thought that the God of the universe would partner with us to help more people know him. Come on, you want to talk about the then and there? You want to talk about not just living for the here and now? And I'm not talking about all, don't be weird. Don't be that person that's like, you got your Bible and you're like, in Jesus' name. You know, like you're I'm not talking about that. Like I'm talking about when you're on base and you're working beside somebody and says, hey, what do you do on Sunday mornings? Oh, what do you do on Sunday morning? Hey, I actually go to church. Man, I would love for you to come check it out. Man, it's been a game changer for my family. My kids love it. You're talking to the person that's your friend that's not really into church. You're like, hey, listen, you may not like church, but man, this is a little bit different than what you think of when you think of church. Come on, there's less aerobics, come on somebody, than the kneel, stand, right? Like there's less than that. Some of y'all grew up Catholic, y'all know. That wasn't meant to be a shot at the Catholic Church. That was just trying to be funny. Anyways, but be genuine when you talk about it. And then the last thing I would tell you is this, is live a life that raises questions in all the best ways. I love what Matthew chapter 5 says. It says that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, it says this, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I was thinking, how do we synopsize this? And I don't think Jesus needs help on how to say it better, but I wanted to narrow it down to one phrase, and it's this. To live in such a way that those who know you but don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus because they know you. To live in such a way that those who know you, they know you're not perfect. So you don't even have to act it. They know that they see the progression in your life. They've seen the change that's happening right in front of them. That you would live in such a way that those who know you but don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus because they know you. I wanted to equip you today with a very simple way to do this last part of what I'm talking about. And it's literally to invite people to our Christmas experiences. Today, when you leave, you're gonna get three little cards that are in rubber bands. And they say, I'll just show it to you. They say best Christmas ever, because we truly believe this is going to be the best Christmas ever. And it has the times on one side, and then it has the branding for the church on the other side. Your friend may be one invitation away from giving their life to Jesus. They may have said no. Listen to me. It takes on average, I think, I forget the exact number, somewhere around 7 times, inviting somebody to come to church. Some of you are like, man, I've invited that friend 1,700 times, right? Some 7 times for them to accept an invitation. So all of those no's may have led up to this moment right here where it's a yes for Christmas. And they come and they hear about the hope that they can have in Jesus, and it could change not only their life, but it could change their eternity. I got a suspicion that some of you today, that you've been living for the here and now, and God's doing some shifting in your heart to really think about the then and there. Don't be scared about the mist, the fog, the vapor. It is kind of what we've, the life experience. The mortality rate is hovering around 100%. None of us are making it out alive. I don't want to be discouraging. But James was saying, hey, live not just for right here and right now. Hey, make the money, succeed, do all that stuff. But don't lose perspective on what it's really about. For some of you, it's the finances piece. You just felt like God just narrowing down. You're like, Pastor, you were talking directly to me. It was uncomfortable. I'm not sure what to do with this. For some of you, it was the sharing your faith piece, that maybe you just feel like it's time for you to begin talking more about it. Not in a weird way, just beginning to bring it up in conversation to friends. Maybe for some of you, it was both. So today, I want to give you a chance to respond to those. If you would, right where you sit, just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment as we wrap up today. Maybe you're listening and you're like, Pastor Kenneth, today it was the store your treasure piece that really I felt Holy Spirit talking as if you were speaking directly to me. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up? Nobody's looking around, every head's bowed, every eyes closed. Would you just throw your hand up and say, hey, I just felt that today. I feel like I've been working for the here and now, and I want to focus more on the then and there. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up? Yeah. You pull those down. Maybe for you, it was the share your faith piece, that maybe you haven't felt equipped in the past, but now that you hear that it's as simple as making it appetizing for them and just talking about it in a way that's genuine. And today you just feel stirred with this share your faith piece. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up, say, today, Pastor Kenneth, that was really, yeah. You can pull those down. So right where you sit, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. I want to give you a chance, just a moment to have with God. Right where you are, just to say, God, I'm hearing you. God, I'm receiving this. Maybe today, you've been here the last 2 weeks and you've heard the conversation about heaven. You've heard the conversation about hell. You've thought about this idea of not just the here and now, but the then and there. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. That there's never been a moment
where you've asked Jesus to save your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to save your soul. I want to tell you, you are one heartfelt prayer away from that happening right here, right now, in this moment. So right where you sit, every head still bowed, every eye still closed, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me like this. If this is what you want to do, step into a relationship with Jesus, the starting block of your faith. Doesn't mean you have it all figured out. Just means that you're willing to follow Jesus and for him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. If that's you, would you pray a prayer with me like this? Would you say, Jesus, I'm asking that you would save my soul. Jesus, I confess that I have fallen short. I confess that I am a sinner. And I'm in desperate need of your grace. Jesus, I'm asking for a fresh start. I'm asking for a new beginning. Jesus, I believe that you went to the cross to pay for my sins. That you rose again on the third day to show me that I could have victory over my sins. Jesus, I don't want to live just for the here and now. I want to live for the then and there. Jesus, my life is yours. Again, with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, if that's you today, you prayed that prayer, you stepped into a relationship with Jesus, would you just throw your hand up, say, Pastor Kenneth, today was the day. I love that. I love that so much. I love that. Love that. Best decision that you'll ever make. You can pull those down. You can pull those down. Church, will you look up at me for a second? Come on, can we celebrate with all those that just stepped into a relationship with Jesus? Oh my gosh. Oh man. Today, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray over us. When I get done praying, the prayer team at both locations is going to be down front. And if you need prayer, maybe today you made that decision for the first time and you just want somebody to pray with you, man, it'd be our honor to be able to pray with you. But I want to pray, come on, that we have the best week that we've had in a long time, that all the calories that we consumed over Thanksgiving would be taken away. Come on, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you for bringing us here today. God, we are leaving differently than the way that we came. We're leaving with an eternal perspective. God, we say today, we declare today that we are not focusing just on the here and now, but we are focusing on the then and there. Help us to have an eternal perspective. God, thank you for those who gave their life to you today. God, I celebrate with them as I know all of the angels in heaven have already celebrated. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Have an amazing week. We'll see you guys next Sunday, Vision Sunday.